a wonderful Christmas gift that you can get for your favorite gardener. So we have a lot of fun information today. And we're also going to be taking your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We would love to get your messages. Tell us what you're doing for Christmas, your favorite Christmas movie. We discussed that in the first hour, how to pet-proof your Christmas tree. You can find all that on our podcast, which you can hear at betterlawns.com or on iHeartRadio, anywhere where you listen to podcasts.
Exactly. Go to WFLAOrlando.com and you can search Better Lawns and Gardens.
And so I think it's time for John Denver.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is hostorium. Hostorium. It's from the late Latin hostor, meaning a water drawer. And it's the first known use of hostorium was in 1875. So in botany, a hostorium is a root-like structure that grows into or around another structure to absorb water or nutrients. The etymology of the name corresponds to the Latin word hoster, meaning the one who draws, drains, or drinks, and refers to the action performed by the outgrowth. This would be what mistletoes do as a hemiparasite. They're not a complete parasite. They're a half parasite. They attach to their host via a hostorium. The hostoria attacks the host's xylem or phloem and attaches itself to the host. This structure both anchors the mistletoe and taps into the host plant. Mistletoes use passive mechanisms to draw water from their host. They keep their leaf stomata open at night and day, which sets up a moisture gradient between the mistletoe and host. So the dirty word of the day is hostorium. And the plural of it is hostoria. And so it's something that drains water and nutrients from the plants. And I have a lot of mistletoe trivia here. So mistletoe stays green all winter long because it does suck minerals and water from its host. And it's and it doesn't ask permission. So kissing under the mistletoe originated around the 1500s in Europe. One custom was one kiss per berry, and when the berries were plucked, no more kisses. Some species of mistletoe are poisonous, and so you want to be very careful and not have them in the house when you have plants. But mistletoe isn't all bad. And some doctors and its research, they are researching mistletoe for cancer patients to help ease the side effects from chemotherapy. So the Druids believed mistletoe was sacred, a religious symbol that was both medicinal and magical, and was removed from an oak tree using a golden knife or sickle, according to Pliny the Elder. Mistletoe could even provide protection from witches and ghosts. There are over 17,000 varieties of mistletoe, and that plastic mistletoe you see in the store, that's the American mistletoe. And let's see, the mistletoe plants can provide nesting grounds for birds and mammals, although that's mostly after the trees have died. Mourning doves, spotted owls, Cooper's hawk, and squirrels have nestled in mistletoe. Mistletoe plants can make great sights when they're massive, weighing up to 50 pounds. They're also called witch's broom. And so let's see here. I've got another page here. And so mistletoe, you want, when you cut it off, it does have a little white sap on it that can be an irritant. So you want to be really careful about using it in the house. Like I said, it doesn't grow in the soil, and it can produce and go through some photosynthesis in the early life of their cycle. So how does it spread? Well, the birds eat the berries, and when the berries fly, or when the birds fly around and they poop the seed onto a tree or a shrub, and then the structure again forms a hostorium, and it acts like a root burrowing into the host branch, and that's how the mistletoe survives. They also spread their seeds by exploding as much as 50 feet away. Now, I don't know. I have to research this more, but I have to get a video. Somebody has to have videoed slow-mo a mistletoe berry exploding, mistletoe berry exploding and seed spray in 50 feet away.
That's, I will find that and send that to you.
That would be great. We'd have to do it. Now, the birds really like them because they have special sugars and different colors and textures in the berry. And the fruit is only available in winter in many cases. So it is, a food resource for birds in the wintertime. There's also a butterfly species that the mistletoe is the host plant to. So from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. We have Annalise Valdez with Cobra Head coming up. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you haven't gotten your favorite gardener a Christmas gift, we have wonderful idea coming right up. We have with us right now Annalise Valdez, and she is with Cobra Head, and she is in Wisconsin right now. She is joining us. Good morning, Annalise. How are you?
Hi, Teresa. I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, you're welcome. You sound great. And tell us what the winter's like right now in Wisconsin.
I'm in southern Wisconsin, and it is unseasonably warm the last few days. It's currently about 42 degrees and raining. Yesterday it was like 55, and I'm sure for you Floridians that probably sounds really frigid, but for us this time of year,
it is. Unusual. That does sound just like Florida winter weather. So that's wonderful. And so your company, your family makes a wonderful garden tool, and I want you to talk about the Cobra Head tools, the weeds, the weeder and cultivator, and tell me, how long has your family been farming in Wisconsin?
Okay, so I need to dispel that notion because we are not farmers. my family moved to Cambridge, Wisconsin in 1986, and we did move to like a little 4-acre, I think what you would call hobby farm. So there is a barn. But there's no, it's not a farm. My dad is he's a hobby vegetable grower for most of his life. So he's pretty serious about his vegetable garden. But it was always just a serious hobby and not farming.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Cause so, I mean, to me in Florida, when we garden like that, we see lots of farms here, but you have farms in Wisconsin. So, but this is a family operation, right?
Yes, it's definitely a family operation yet. So I'm second generation. Going back to the barn, like I said, there is a barn on the property. And my dad found this incredible old antique five-tined cultivating hoe that he just loved. He used it to rip through like the clay soil that we had around here. And one day he was using that tool, and one of the tines fell out, and he just started pulling weeds with it and realized, oh, this is a really good tool. So he stuck a little handle on it. He used it for years as just his super weeder. And when he wanted to go buy another one, he realized nobody was making them. Nobody had ever made this tool. And so he found some local companies. He found a forging operation up in Green Bay who could do the steel for us. He found a manufacturer near us in Madison, Wisconsin, who could mold a handle on it. And that's how the Cobra Head was born.
Excellent. Excellent. I know it's one of Tony's, my husband's, favorite tools. And so what kind of garden chores can they tackle?
Oh, it's actually an incredibly multi-use tool. Most people, of course, love it for weeding. You can pull out tap roots. It's a great little cultivator because of the sharp, narrow blade. You can rip through kind of any soil. You can use it to make planting holes, use it for, you know, scraping up dead debris and piling it up. And we've had plumbers buy it so they can dig around pipes, and people who are like arborists so they can dig and check root health. It's just an incredible little efficient digger that people keep finding uses for and telling us about.
Oh, okay. And so the tool is called weeder and cultivator. Is there a difference between a weeder and a cultivator?
No, it's so the name of the tool is the Cobra Head Weeder and Cultivator. So it's all one tool because it does all of these tasks. So it's not two different tools.
Excellent. Are they ergonomic?
Yeah. So what we like to tell people, this is going to sound a little funny, but when you use the tool, think of yourself in the garden if you had one really strong fingernail made out of steel. So if you had a steel claw in your hand, what could you do in the garden? And so you're pulling toward yourself instead of like twisting or prying like you would use with a straight tool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much more natural motion on your arm. You're not moving your wrists or your elbows in weird ways that could cause some wrist tension. So we do have a lot of gardeners tell us they can work in the garden with our tool a lot longer without getting fatigued. It's also really lightweight. The original tool is about 9 ounces. And we have a mini Cobra Head, which is an even smaller handle that fits your hand really well. And that one's only about 5 ounces. So it's you can stick it in your pocket and just pick it up anytime you want and pull out a weed. And it's just super lightweight and easy to use.
It is, too. Now, on your website, you also have a broad fork. And so what is a broad fork and what does it used for?
So a broad fork is... if you've ever used a digging fork, so it's not like a pitchfork, but it's a thick-tined fork for digging soil. And this one has two handles on either side of it with like a bar in the middle. So you step across the bar and you can use this tool. A lot of people will use it instead of a rototiller for loosening up your soil. Or maybe if you're harvesting like a root crop, you can use it to help loosen the soil to get out, you know, maybe carrots or potatoes or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we find like market growers and small scale vegetable farmers and even flower growers really like the broad fork, or just people who don't want to use a rototiller and don't want to wrestle with that. So the broad fork is becoming a lot more and more popular with people who don't want to use like a big gas digger.
Sure. And that's going to protect the soil, the microbial systems in the soil better too.
Exactly. You're not churning it up or anything. You're protecting your soil structure a lot better.
That's wonderful. So where are Cobra Head tools made?
All of our tools are made here in Wisconsin.
And so they're American made. And what is the mm-hmm. price range?
So we start with our Cobra Head Mini, which is $26.95. Our original is $29.95. And then we also have a Cobra Head Long Handle. So it does the same chores as the original or Mini, but you can stand up like a hoe. That one is that one's $69.95, and then there's shipping because it's kind of big package. And then that broad fork is $245 plus shipping.
Okay, and how long do they last?
Well, they don't go bad. That's kind of a design flaw on our part. We didn't do any planned obsolescence. Our products are made with the tempered steel blade, and then that Mini and original have a recycled composite handle molded right onto the blade. So it's pretty much a lifelong tool. As well, if you're taking care of it, it's something you could pass on to the next generation in your family.
I love that. That's wonderful. Okay, and so tell everybody where they can go look at it. Now, can they still get it in time for Christmas?
Yes, you still got probably the rest of this up through next week. You could still order to get in time for Christmas. CobraHead.com, of course, that's our website. If any of your listeners are shopping on seed catalogs, we're in the Baker Creek catalog, Brent Becky's Bulbs, Epic Gardening, Johnny Seeds, and of course Amazon has it too.
Excellent. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Annalise, for coming on this morning. Your product is a very good tool for the garden. It's very made, American quality, and I certainly do appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you, Trish. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And so that's Annalise Valdez with CobraHead.com, and you can go on. It is a wonderful, wonderful tool. It is American-made, and you can still get it in time for Christmas, and it'll get shipped right to your house. And you can put that mini weeder and cultivator in the stockings.
They actually have videos on their website that show you how to use these different products, which, yeah, that's a winner chicken dinner for me because I need as much, you know, video footage as I can get to learn stuff.
Exactly. But doesn't it look really cool?
Yes, it does. And it makes sense. How she said it's like your finger, but extremely strong nail. And she's right by the look of it. So
yeah, it's really good. I know Tony loves to use it. And he is my weeder. And he does a great job. So we do appreciate that. If you have a gardening question, this is going to be the time to ask. 1-888-455-2967. You can text us 23680, like John in Kissimmee. He wants to know how and when can he start growing some petunia seeds, and do they need covering for winter? And so petunias are grown here in Florida, and yes, you can go ahead and start planting the seeds now. They're very, 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 very tiny. So you want to make sure that you, you know, give them some room to grow and germinate. And then if the wintertime, they do not like freezing temperatures. So anything below 40 degrees, John, I would go ahead and cover them or bring them in if you're doing them in trays. But they like full sun, you know, 78 degrees outside averaging. They can go down into the 50s. But once it gets down below 40, I would cover them. And they will grow for you, and they will bloom all the way through March and April and May next year. Petunias are wonderful to grow. So thank you for that question. That's wonderful. And then I had Linda. She sent a picture of a lizard, and she says, "What is this?" She said her cats dragged it in, and a couple of days later, she found another one live, and she's never seen anything like it, not even in the Everglades. And it might be hazard, but it's actually very beneficial. It is a salamander, and let's see, it controls pests. It controls mosquitoes and all kinds of grubs. It's something that you can find in a wet, moist area. They like wetlands, and it's very, very important. It's a environmental alert system because they're very vulnerable to drought and toxic substances. So they're indicators of ecosystem health. Eastern United States has the highest diversity of salamanders in the world, Linda. So it is just very important amphibian. It looks cool. It looks like it's part snake, part lizard. And they really are a wonderful, beneficial animal in our ecosystems, in our forests. So thank you for that great picture. I'll post it today on Facebook, and everyone can see salamanders. And I love that little amphibian area. We see them in springs and around wet areas, low-lying areas, wetlands. And they are a beneficial creature in our environment. So I would 1-888-455-2967, or you can text at 23680. If you're in the gardening area, we'd love to hear what you're talking about. We are taking, you know, if you have a question on your Christmas plants, or if you have your favorite Christmas movie, let us know which one you like the best.
And I would like to wish Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish listeners.
Thank you.
Yes. We're decorated around here. I'm absolutely loving it. So.
Oh, no, it looks great. The decorations are wonderful. And that's with Alan and Simon on Good Morning Orlando.
Yes. So
we want to wish everyone a Happy Hanukkah. And this is the second day. So this is the second day of Hanukkah, and we appreciate every one of our listeners. So thank you so much. We'll be right back with more Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you know someone who loves to garden, has moved new to Florida, and they don't know what to do, please let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens. And also on our Facebook page, if you will go to it and like it, that will be great. We would really love 5 stars and just let everyone know.
That's
we're getting
right.
so many new listeners, and we love hearing from you. And so I do have to make one correction. I got excited in the last segment, and I talked about 17,000 mistletoe species, but it is actually 1,700, not, 10 times that.
So now they went from being overstocked to now that they're on the endangered list. Good job, Teresa.
So, but that's still quite a lot of different mistletoes. It's not just the one that we have or the several that we have here in the United States. So had to correct that. And if you'd like to give us a call, you can call 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. So what can you be planting this month? Jonica Simi, he asked about petunias, and he's on the right track. Petunias are wonderful to be planting right now, but you can also be planting alyssum and baby's breath, bacopa, begonias and bush daisies, calendulas, California poppies, candy tuff. You don't see a lot of it, but you can plant candy tuff or the seeds of candy tuff, carnations and chrysanthemums, delphiniums, dianthus, dusty miller, foxglove, and geraniums, hollyhocks and Iceland poppies, and licorice plants, lobelia. I love lobelia. Deep purple and little flowers, and it's just a wonderful little winter cool season annual. That's wonderful. Million bells, ornamental cabbage and kale. You can get those in the ground now. And then also pansies and petunias, salvias, Shasta daisies, snapdragons, status and stock, sweet pea, verbena, and viola. And we were talking with Tom yesterday because, Lizzie, we got to tape our New Year's Eve special show with Tom McCubbin yesterday, and it was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was amazing, and I love seeing and listening to you and Tom. You guys are hysterical. I wish that we could have done just a whole live thing to catch the off-air events, but yes, definitely love seeing the two of you together. So.
And that will be for December 30th or 31st 30th. Weekend, so
yep.
You can listen to it then. Now, what kind of vegetables can you be planting right now? Beets and broccoli, Brussels sprouts and cabbage, carrots and cauliflower, and collards and horseradish. And, you know, that's something that I eat a lot and I've never planted. I think I'm going to try it this year.
Horseradish?
Horseradish. I've never grown it. And then lettuce and mustard, onions and peas, radicchio and radishes, spinach, Swiss chard, and turnips. And we're going to have great weather this weekend to have some beef stew and with the rain coming up. So it is going to be raining next or tomorrow and into Monday. We have another cold front coming through. And this is what our Florida winter is. A few days of, 70s and 80 degrees. And then we have a rain shower. And then it goes down into the 30s and 40s, sometimes lower. And that's what's going to be our weather pattern. And you really don't need to be irrigating a lot. If you have an established landscape, no need to be doing that. Mother Nature takes care of it. And if you're overwatering your lawn, this is the time of the year to wean it off. So we're only supposed to be irrigating once a week right now. So if you're irrigating more, 2-3 times a week, that needs to stop because you're really creating an environment for disease and pest issues. A lot of stress.
Can you solve this argument between me and my husband, Shrek? That's okay. His nickname. Okay. I tried telling him that Teresa said that the poinsettias don't need to be covered up unless it's 40 or like below 40.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, nah, I think it's like 20 because he goes, isn't that like a Christmas plant? Go ahead, Teresa.
I love him. I love it. It is a plant that gets cold bracts because of the shorter days in the wintertime. And so, but it's not a cold plant. It really is from Mexico. And one of the Christmas miracles is one of the stories, Mexican stories, is that it blooming in the snow, but it's not really blooming. It's actually the leaves. And I would say it is tropical. So, anything under 35 degrees or freezing is going to damage it if it gets that cold for that amount of time. If it's only for an hour, you may not see any damage. But where we see in Florida, the damage to tropicals is when it stays cold for 6 to 8 hours or more, 1 to 2 days of freezing temperatures. That's when we see the cold damage. And so, yes, it is a tropical plant, and it will get damaged if the temperatures go below freezing.
Hmm. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo. There you go. I've got this on record, so.
Well, it's, you know, it's just, we don't think of it as getting cold here. But we, you know, this year is the El Nino. And so we're going to see a lot of rain this year in during the winter, which we really need to catch up because we really were blessed without a lot of tropical storms or hurricanes this year. So our water is at a deficit in most areas, especially in the Tampa area. And so, you know, people think, well, we need to catch up and we need to water more. No, we just need to water on a regular basis once a week. If that, if we get a half inch of rain a week, there is no reason to irrigate at all. And our irrigation systems should actually, the rain shutoff devices, that is a state law since 1991, should work, and our systems shouldn't come on unless we need to have that half inch. So, you know, check your irrigation systems. Make sure your rain shutoff device is working correctly. That is mandatory. It's a state law. It will save you thousands of dollars, and I can use the word thousands in that, of water bills a year. And so it's very, very important for you and for the health of your landscape. You don't want to encourage growing hydroponically, you know, and so when you're watering often, those roots don't need to go down deep and, you know, and they just stay at the surface. And then when they don't get watered, that's when they start to show stress. Your zoysia grass, when we get to a couple of cold nights, is going to start to turn brown. That's normal, and it will recover in the springtime. We just think of it as seasonal color changes.
So don't throw it away.
So don't throw it away. Don't throw your zoysia grass away. Don't throw your plants away. Check with us first. We have a lot more information coming up from you. If you would like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680, write it down. And from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. If you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, it's Saturday morning, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and I have a text from Mia in Winter Garden, and she asked about where she could see these movies and she would love to watch them for the holidays. And so I will be posting it on our Facebook page. And so Mia, that will, you'll be able to see it all, but let me just give it to you really briefly, is that you can see, do a search on your cable channels, TCM, Turner Classic Movies. You can see some of these on demand, especially The Man Who Came to Dinner, and then also Miracle on 34th Street, and I think that is it. The other ones are, and A Christmas Carol, you can probably see on TCM. Then you can go over to Prime and see the Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2. It's great. Kurt Russell sings in it, and it's just wonderful. It's just a wonderful movie. And then The Man Who Invented Christmas is on Netflix. And then Spirited is on Apple. And you can get a free subscription to Apple and then, you know, cancel it. So, you know, if you don't want to watch
you
Apple.
You did not just suggest that.
I did. And then Elf, again, I think you can see Elf on TCM. I like to watch it without commercials, but you can usually watch them on the regular channels with commercials in them. It's just, there's some stations that play it 24/7.
Yeah, AMC has got all the Christmas stuff, and Scrooge is probably my second
favorite. Is that
favorite
Bill
with
Murray?
Yes.
That's funny. That is funny,
is
too.
It is so good. So.
I love watching different versions of movies, and I loved the Christmas Carol, which is Scrooge, and Spirited, you have to add on that list. You have to see Spirited.
I think I'm going to watch. I think I've seen the Christmas Chronicles because the more you keep explaining it, I remember seeing Kurt Russell and
Goldie Hawn.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. So I think I have seen it. It was very good.
He's got a beautiful beard. He's a great Christmas suit, and that sleigh is to die for.
One year. Sleigh. Yes. Yeah. 1 year, because we always get so busy, and I'm going to plan this for next year. I always wanted to rent out a movie theater and sit there and watch A Christmas Story, like I did when I was a kid, because I saw it whenever it was like 83, and yes, my mom and dad took it, and it bombed. It bombed in the movie theaters, but then somehow it just got up and started running. So yeah. Yes, and I would love to do
very,
that.
Very collectible. Yeah, it's just a memory, a childhood memory, and I think that's what people gravitate to. And so I saw Leslie Warren in Cinderella. We do Grammy and Peepaw's movie night with the grandkids, and we watched Cinderella with Leslie Warren from the 1960s.
Oh,
and that one is just great. She's so young in it. She's only 19 in it, and it's a great movie for kids, and yes, it's wonderful production, just kind of like what you would think about. And so 1-888-455-2967. If you're in the Garden area and have a question for us, and you can also 23680 and text us with your name and town. So I wanted to talk about, because I said it's not the time to fertilize earlier at the beginning of the year. This has been a show where I've had to correct myself a couple of times.
It's okay. You're allowed that. It's the end of the year.
End of the year. That's it, Lizzie. You go. That's wonderful. And so, but vegetables are different because they are not going to be living forever. You're going to harvest them, and so you need them to grow rapidly. And this cool weather, the cool season, vegetables and herbs, you need to cut a lot. And so you can side dress with black cow manure and also or a general fertilizer every 3 to 4 weeks. So things that you want to grow right now that you want to get a good harvest on, get some good growth on some of the annual, colorful annuals, then you can fertilize those because they're not going to be lasting long. And you want, you know, the ultimate growth that you can get. And so also, too, you could also do not cut any fruit trees right now. You want to delay it until mid-February. And that's with your citrus trees, your peach trees. You may see your peach trees putting out blossoms right now. Don't worry about that. They will produce enough fruit on them with more blossoms going through into the spring. And then frost blankets, frost cloths. You want to make sure you have them on hand because we don't get a lot of notice here if you're not paying attention to the weather on a regular basis of freezes.
Yes.
And it could be 60, 75, mm-hmm, 80 degrees one day. And 2 days later, it could be in the 30s freezing.
Flashback to 2 weeks ago, because my frost blankets were in the back of my shed because I'm like, I don't need them right now, because we didn't get a warning till like 7 o'clock that night. And then Fox 35 is going, ding. And I'm like, oh, I'm editing audio. I'll look at that later. I looked at it an hour later. I'm like, oh, it's going to be like 39.
Yes.
And it was.
And so you don't have time. So get them out now. Prepare. And then I always look at the weather on Sunday nights for the week. And it will tell you, if you see rain coming from Texas and Louisiana, it's going to be here in Florida. That's the way the air currents grow. And we will get the rain before a cold front comes through. And tomorrow it's going to be especially stormy. So you want to be careful. We're going to get the cold front hitting the warmer temperatures, and we're going to see some lightning and some, you know, possible bad weather tomorrow. So just be on the lookout tomorrow night. If you're on the road traveling for Christmas, you just want to be careful.
Good.
And, just kind of just take care.
Yeah, exactly. That's good information. A lot of people don't realize to actually have the weather alerts on your phone for that purpose. Yes, it is annoying because sometimes it'll bust through at like 2 o'clock in the morning, but those weather alerts are actually pretty good.
There you go. And so we have Tony from College Park, and he says that the Christmas Chronicles is on Netflix. I think I said that, but Christmas Chronicles is on Netflix. And then A Christmas Story is playing all day long. It reminds me of growing up with all the cords in one socket. And so Ralphie, and so he relates to Ralphie. So it's wonderful. It's good, you know, wonderful childhood memories of Christmas. Did you ever have the white and white Christmas trees that were, artificial ones with the lights that turned colors on the Christmas tree during the 1970s? Mm-mm. 60s and 70s. That was my favorite Christmas tree. I got a 4-foot doll that walked that year.
What? Wait, what? It walks on its own?
No. It just was, my sister and I, we both got matching dolls. They were about 4 feet tall, because I was small then, so I guess it was a little bit bigger. And they walked. You could just take them, and when you move their arm, they would put their foot out.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Rocking horses. Oh, remember the rocking horses?
Yes, my mom and dad bought one for my son, who is now 32 years old, but bought him whenever he was born. And I still have that. And I just need to redo the mane and the tail because it's become ragamuffin-ish. But yeah.
Yeah, yep. No, I love that. Christmas memories is what I think about, you know, when we watch the movies and put up the tree and have the traditions. And so I love doing that. So if you have missed any of our shows over the past year, you can go onto iHeart. You can go onto any of the podcast networks and you can just look up Better Lawns and Gardens or even Teresa Watkins and it will come up and you can listen to shows anytime, 7 days a week, 24/7. But they can also hear us every Saturday from 7 to 9 a.m. We just love our listeners. We're getting more and more listeners. I love it as more and more people move to Florida. We get a lot of people listening up across the country.
That's right. And don't be shy. Text us. Call us. It's not nerve-wracking for you to ask a question on air because you already know what you want to ask.
Yes.
You know, so text us the full information, name, your city, and then ask the question there through our text line or pick up the phone and call us.
We will love it.
Exactly.
And there's no stupid questions. You know, no. And so many people feel that gardening is different here than, you know, where they grew up or where they're coming from. And that's possibly the case. But, you know, we can give you good basic information that you need to know. And, you know, so you plant the right plant in the right place. You attract the wildlife. I want to thank Deborah Green for coming on and telling us about the Christmas bird count. You would like to start a family tradition. This is a great one to do. Go on to the Audubon.org site. You can do that. And then Annalise Valdez with Cobra Head Tools, CobraHead.com. You can still get Christmas gifts for your stockings and for your favorite gardener. Check that out. We will upload this all to our Facebook page and you can check it out. Everything we talked about, I will be posting.
That
a great
right.
mistletoe picture. You'll have to see it.
And after the show, you can still continue to text us because whenever I come in on Monday morning for Good Morning Orlando, I scan the text over the weekend and then I take pictures and I send them to Teresa. So don't think that you can't just, I thought of something Sunday during the storm that we had. I have a question. So go ahead and send them to us.
That's exactly right. I love to respond. You can also go to betterlawns.com and ask your gardening questions, or you can check my website at she-consulting.com. Just Google Teresa Watkins Orlando or gardening, and I pop up everywhere. We just love answering questions and getting out there. It's not so hard to do. Florida, it's wonderful. We have the blessings of gardening here 365 days out of the year and all the beautiful color round. Thank you so much for listening today. We wish everyone a happy Hanukkah and a Merry Christmas and a happy Kwanzaa. So if you're out there, we love having you out there. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com, and check out some of the cool prizes that we're giving away. That's WFLAOrlando.com.